This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Run Happy just keeps coming at him past the 16th pull. Run Happy, and boy, does this horse love to run. The aptly named Run Happy for Edgar Prado to take it.
Also sponsored by Abracadabra Farm, Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darling, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
But there's no catching Wedding Toast. Wedding Toast, much the best here, all the way in the Beldame.
There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Pope Jude, whatever you want to call him. We are here with you at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, back on the road this morning, and happy to have you with us throughout HRN Nation, tuning in coast to coast on Sirius XM, satellite radio, channel 93, streaming worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net, and listening worldwide, of course, on our website and on affiliates across the country. JT, good morning, my friend. Happy opening day.
Good morning. Yeah, it's fantastic to be here. This is the beginning of our fiscal year, I like to call it. For me, it's when horse racing starts. All my record keeping goes from opening day of Gulfstream. Now, it used to go from opening day of Santa Anita, but that has gone by the wayside since this is where we kick off our year, so to speak. Certainly Gulfstream, a big part of what we do, and happy to be here.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting. You look back on what's transpired over the course of the last 4 or 5 weeks, and it was only about 4 or 5 weeks ago that we were sitting at Keeneland for the Breeders' Cup World Championships, and so many of the biggest names in thoroughbred racing from around the world converging on the Bluegrass. Today we come to South Florida for the 17th running of the Claiming Crown, and this is a much different scenario. It has a similar structure to what we saw in the Breeders' Cup, with several different races for several different divisions, both turf and dirt, sprint, route races. But now you have the blue-collar horses of the sport going to the post and running for some pretty good money.
Yeah, and it's nice because they probably appreciate the warm weather. It's yeah. A little different scenario here. The skies are gray, just like Breeders' Cup was, but it's about 80 degrees here, and it was about 30 degrees in Lexington. So it was we froze during Breeders' Cup, but we're not going to freeze today, that's for sure.
Well, the Sunshine State not really living up to its name the past couple of days, though, huh?
Not since we've been here. It's been raining off and on since Thursday, and right now not raining. A patch of blue here and there, but starting at noon, supposedly, is when the rain's supposed to hit a little bit. So not as much as we anticipated. Somebody had sent you a weather map that really looked devastating. I was seriously yeah. wondering why we were even making the trip at that point. But we've had a lot of fun here. It's been great. Gulfstream is always a fun place to visit. So no complaints.
Still waiting to hear about the turf races today. The turf, it, no doubt, will have a little bit of give to it this afternoon because of all that rain.
Man,
right?
Are you an optimist?
Huh? Yeah, do you think they stay on the grass?
No. Absolutely.
Not at all.
I mean, I would be shocked.
Really?
Oh, it's. I mean, that grass has to be, like, really, really soaked. And they're not, I really don't think, no offense to the entrance in the Claiming Crown, but I don't think they're going to chew up the course.
Right.
You know, I mean, they've got months and months of racing. The course wasn't in that great a shape when they closed and went to Gulfstream Park West, formerly known as Calder.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, I would be shocked if they ran in the grass. I don't find it advisable.
Well, not only is this claiming Crown Day with 9 stakes races, $1.1 million in purses up for grabs for those blue-collar runners in the sport, so to speak, but this is also opening day of Gulfstream's championship meet, which offers a record $11.61 million in purses throughout 2015 and into 2016. It's all highlighted by the $1 million Florida Derby on April 2nd. We're going to be here with you for all of the big races this year in South Florida, so you get a chance to hear them on the Horse Racing Radio Network exclusively, coast to coast and worldwide. A record 73 stakes races, including 37 graded stakes on tap. And Jude, when you think about what this meet is all about and always has been about, it's about the road to the Kentucky Derby and so many of the young horses in the sport, the future stars, making their debuts, going in the greatest stakes races like the Holy Bull and the Fountain of Youth and the Florida Derby, all trying to take that next step on that road to Louisville in the first Saturday in May.
Yeah, well, Gulfstream always has had that position of, horses getting ready for the Derby. It's a great place to race during the winter. Gulfstream Park and Santa Anita, the two real highlights on the tour, and then of course Fairgrounds as well. So any place where the weather's a little warmer and people are able to train their horses up to the Derby preps is a popular place to be in the winter. And lucky for us, we're going to be here most of the winter.
Well, just in case you're wondering, 154 days, 9 hours, 27 minutes, and 32 seconds away from the Run for the Roses.
Now down to 30.
Edging ever closer.
Yes.
Here on the network.
Yes, we're hinging on every second.
It will be here before we know it, right?
It will. If things go fast, you know. During the summertime, we're up at Saratoga, and Breeders' Cup on the way, blah, blah, blah. Pretty soon, there it is. We're in Lexington, so it does go fast, and time marches on. So
all right, well, in terms we're ready. Of what we are going to see here this afternoon, our Claiming Crown coverage kicks off at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. It is going to air exclusively at horseracingradio.net, which means you can access us worldwide. Listeners in 162 countries have made the Horse Racing Radio Network their home for racing coverage in 2015. So don't forget, you can do it on your smartphone, your tablet, your computer, whatever it may be. It's all there for you this afternoon, beginning at 3 o'clock Eastern, horseracingradio.net. We can't talk about the Claiming Crown without talking about Uber owner Ken Ramsey, because he is the all-time leading owner in terms of number of wins in Claiming Crown history with 14. Trainer Mike Maker is also here. He trains 5 horses owned by Ken Ramsey in this year's edition of the Claiming Crown. Mike Maker has won 14 races, which is a record in the Claiming Crown.
Yeah, he's also got some other clients who are participating this afternoon. So, yes, he is quite the Claiming Crown savant as far as trainers are concerned. So he actually won like 4 in a day, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, you remember that day?
Yeah.
Remember his wife turned to him?
Yeah.
After they won.
He like shrugged his shoulders and went to the winner's circle again.
It's like, what are you going to do?
It was like one of those crazy days that you have as a trainer that like everything goes your way, you know. So
how many of those days have you had?
One.
Where everything was going your way?
I've had a couple, but no, I never won 4 in a day.
All right, and getting a little note here from my beautiful wife, Michelle, who's producing the show on site for us today, by the way. Andy Serling, who is going to be working here at Gulfstream this winter, typically up at NYRA, tweeting out that the update on the Gulfstream Park turf races 3 and 10 are on the turf today. Races 1, 5, and 8 are off the turf. Both main track and turf are listed as good. So there you go. Races 3 and 10 will remain on the turf, which that would be what, the Tierra and the Jewel?
Jewel.
Are those the two?
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, the Tierra is race 3, and then race number 10, I believe, is the Jewel. I'm going to double-check that for you right now. Those races on, no, the Emerald Stakes, excuse me, the Emerald.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Green.
Yeah, there you go. Go figure.
Yeah.
All right, so they're still on the grass, and right. A turf course listed as good. You surprised with that?
Very. I think it's probably worse than that. My own personal opinion does not reflect the views of this station.
We have a lot of rain the last couple of days. We have had quite a bit of rain.
A lot of rain.
The turf course, let's face it, here in South Florida, probably pretty dry, so it probably needed some rain.
Well, I know, but, you know, there's a saturation point. Anybody that's a gardener, which I am, can tell you. I mean, it's got to be pretty squishy out there.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, they may run the first one, not run the second one. You know, I mean, there's always that possibility. But, you know, if it is good, then that's great. I'm all in favor.
Okay.
But I just don't want them to tear up the course.
Right.
It's the Californian in me. You know, somebody would spit on the turf course they were off.
Well, it never rains in California.
Well,
right?
That's not
except
true.
For when I go out there for opening weekend at Del Mar and it pours for 2 days.
There's a black cloud that follows you around all the time.
It's here with us now on this trip.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Terrible. South Florida.
Your mother tried to get you to go to Tampa, but you wouldn't do it.
No, it's beautiful in Tampa too, right?
That's what she says.
Gorgeous. I know.
That's what she says.
I know. Well, they don't have the claiming crown in Tampa, and it's not opening day of the championship meet at Tampa Bay Downs, but it is here at Gulfstream Park, and we're with you for the next 2 hours here this morning, right up until 10 o'clock Eastern time. Going to be a busy show. Bob Fortis is going to be with us here after our first commercial break. Bob, of course, the longtime turf writer for the New Orleans Times Picayune, was there for about 30 years, and now out on his own, he has a book called Ride to Win, which he has just published, and it is an inside look at the jockey's craft. So we're going to visit with Bob coming up in just a couple of minutes to talk with him about that very interesting book that he is taking care of here. Eric Hamelbeck and Leroy Gessman will be with us right around 8:35 Eastern time. Eric, the CEO of the National HBPA, Leroy, the president of that great organization. They are heavily invested in this claiming crown, and they do a lot of really good things for owners, trainers, and horsemen across the country. We'll visit with them at 8:35 Eastern. 9 o'clock, circle this one. Make sure you're with us at 9 o'clock Eastern, because Ken Ramsey will be with us, and he's always a lot of fun to have on the program. He's great radio, and he, of course, has 5 horses going in the claiming crown today. So we'll talk with him at 9 o'clock Eastern time, and we'll wrap it up right around 9:40 Eastern with Mike Nyman, the director of marketing here at Gulfstream Park, and he'll tell you what you can expect not only this afternoon but throughout the entire championship meet. Very busy show. We're going to kick it off next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and it's all presented by Lane's End.
Adina Springs added Macho Uno's best son, Mucho Macho Man, to their stallion roster for the 2015 breeding season. And with 95% of his mares getting in foal, he certainly took to his new job well. Mucho Macho Man earned $5.6 million on the track, culminating in his thrilling victory in the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic over Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
On the outside, Declaration of War, Will Take Charge. Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. Will Take Charge, a late drop. Oh, that's close. Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
Few horses can be multiple graded placed at 2, run in all 3 legs of the Triple Crown, and then go on to become a Breeders' Cup Classic winner as an older horse. And all this from a foal born June 15th. Visit AdinaStallions.com to learn more about Mucho Macho Man and all the Adina Stallions.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
This afternoon, Gulfstream Park celebrates opening day of the 2015 championship meet with the 17th running of the Claiming Crown, offering $1.1 million in purses. Plus, all fans in attendance receive a free 2016 wall calendar. This year's championship meet offers 2 exciting new wagers, a rolling $1 super high five and an early 50-cent pick five. Post time for the championship meet is 12:05 on Saturdays and 12:35 all other live racing days. Visit GulfstreamPark.com.
Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy. Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of 3 Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com. a multiple Eclipse champion with more than $6.1 million in earnings.
How about that? Gio Ponti will go back to the winner's circle today.
Gio Ponti's first crop of yearlings were in high demand, while a colt by Gio Ponti topped the first session of the OBS Fall Mix Sale, selling to Conquest Stables after working 3/8 and 33 flat. All of this coming on the heels of his impressive maiden winner, Pirolone, at Belmont Park. Champion Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Start now with your Kale Density Mare and Foal Feeding Program. Sales results were obvious at this year's Keeneland September Yearling Sale. Yearlings produced from mares fed Kale Density through their formative year were impressive, as well as horses trained and raced in 2014 and so far in 2015. Clean radiographs, conformity, strong bones, and overall health was the big winner at auction and on the track. Order your plan today at KaleDensity.com or call 877-744-9006 for more information.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And here is Shared Belief on the grandstand side, going right on by. Homeward Bound in the Pacific Classic, and it's all Shared Belief. Toast to New York, Game On Dude dropping out of it. But it is Shared Belief in another absolutely awesome performance. Shared Belief will remain unbeaten and basically untested. Mike Smith and Shared Belief have won the TBG Pacific Classic. Toast to New York second. Imperative Land on late with Irish Surf and Game On Dude. Then Majestic Harbour behind an ice cream truck. You know I know. And then Mystery Train and Clubhouse Ride.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld with you from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. Overcast skies and more rain in the forecast throughout the afternoon. It has been raining here for a couple of days, and much more of the same coming up throughout the morning and into the early afternoon. So keep that in mind as you're handicapping today's Claiming Crown program and opening day of the championship meet. That race call from Trevor Denman, Shared Belief, winning the Pacific Classic. Of course, the sad news coming out this past Thursday that Shared Belief lost that bout with colic and no longer with us. But, boy, what a champion and what a great racehorse. He was making his way back to the races after the injury he had sustained in his most recent start. And it is sad news. It is shocking news. And nobody saw this one coming. Shared Belief winning 10 of 12 lifetime starts with earnings of nearly $3 million and the Eclipse Award champion two-year-old of 2013. Boy, thanks for the memories, and rest in peace, Shared Belief.
Yeah, he was a very, very nice horse, a lot of talent, and I'm sure his connections were devastated. It's tough to replace horses like that. I mean, they are really a racing rarity.
Yeah, well, Bob Fortas, former writer for the New Orleans Times-Picayune, is with us now. And Bob, you've been around this game a long time. You were there in New Orleans for, 30 years. You've seen good horses. You've seen tragic things like this happen in the past, and it's never easy.
No, it's one of the things that, you know, it's part of the game. You hate to say it. It almost sounds like a cliche, but you have to look at it that way, because these athletes, they're giving everything they have, and, you know, those things happen, and, you know, it's just something that you just have to take it, I guess.
Yeah.
It's the same, you know, it's just like people. I mean, people die every day from various and sundry things. And, you know, a lot of times it's not expected. And, you know, that's a sad deal. But you can't let it stop you. You got to go forward.
You know, Ed DeRosa sent out a tweet the other day, and he had the list of all the three-year-olds that were in that crop with Shared Belief. And, of course, he had California Chrome, right, who nearly pulls off the Triple Crown. You had Honor Code. You had Tonalist. Think about that crop, right? Mm-hmm. And Shared Belief might have been the best of them all when it's all said and done.
Arguably so, yeah. It was it was a fantastic group of horses.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, Bob, I mentioned earlier that you are now out on your own, and you have come out with a book, Ride to Win. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, the first thing, Gary West is the co-author, and we're a lot of people think we're like connected at the hip or anyhow. So, it's a collaborative work, and it was something that took about 3 years to do. So, I had time after my newspaper career ended. So, instead of looking for another job, I thought that this is the time, because I never really understood how people wrote books while they were working. It was like, how did you do that? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. What was the main inspiration behind a book like this?
Well, there are a lot of things. One of them, and it's sort of touched on in the first chapter, is just listening to people at the racetrack talk about jockeys. It always just intrigued me, the comments you would hear from the gamblers, of getting into the jockeys, praising them and blaming them and some of the things, as you know, that you'd hear, you'd just sort of cringe, like, you really think that? So it just made me think, like, there's a gap here that could be filled, and what's really going on out there? And then I sort of thought about a horse race and, like, every part of the race. And, that might be a good book, like, what's going on at the starting gate? What's going on in this, the clubhouse turn? What's going on down the backstretch? It just seemed like a natural ordering for a book. So that's what the book is, and it really came out the way that we wanted it to.
Had you talked to Gary about this for a long time and discussed the concept for the book or just the subject matter?
It's sort of evolved. The first people I talked to were Eddie Delahousie and Randy Romero. I talked to them, do you think this would work? Is there any market for this? And I guess we'll find out about that. But, they were kind of optimistic that, people don't know that stuff. This could be good, So I got a lot of encouragement from people like that. I talked to some trainers. I know I talked to Frankie Brothers on the phone one day and some other people that I knew. What do you think, And then it's just sort of, okay, let's just do it. I mean, there was really no risk. I was,
Yeah,
I don't know if it's going to, be successful or not, but to me it's already successful because I can hold it in my hand, so it's yeah. successful. So.
Well, and I'm going to go out on a limb here. We have a show every Tuesday night called Jock Talk, and we spend an hour visiting with jockeys about their lives and their craft and some of the key moments throughout their career. And every time I do one of those shows, I'm fascinated, and I learn something new. And you mentioned a lot of people not knowing what goes into a jockey's mentality, their approach to the race, how they get mounts, even starting that far back. And I learned something new every time I do a show. And I'm sure that you learned a lot of new things as you were doing your research for the book.
Absolutely. And I'll even go back to, reporting generally. Whenever you do a story on anything, if you're a good reporter, you should be learning something you don't know, because you're the reporter and you're theoretically talking to someone who's the expert or the knowledgeable part of the interview. So that was one of the best things about being a reporter that I really like, is finding out things ideally you're going to learn something every day, especially in this sport. It's so complex, but it's also so intriguing. So, yeah, there were a lot of things for sure.
Well, being a former trainer, I consider jockeys a necessary evil, and I'm sure a lot of the trainers that you interview feel the same way. But and I've been vociferous at times, but over the years since I retired from training, I've come to appreciate riders more. And you mentioned, sometimes you hear things and it makes you cringe, and I always try to explain to people when we're on the air, especially, that it's easy for us to watch the race, but the jockeys are in it in 3D. And what we can see, we get to see the whole picture, and they're only seeing a small portion of the whole picture. And sometimes it's even smaller than they think it is. And that's when disqualifications happen and things. And so I've come to understand it, have a little bit different point of view than I used to have when, I'd work for 3 or 4 weeks on a horse and then this guy would screw it up. So it is a learning curve, I think, and I think a lot of people would appreciate that kind of insight that your book gives.
Yeah, it was interesting to talk to different trainers about it. I was just thinking about a quote that isn't in the book from a trainer who will not be named, but it was the trainer said jockeys are the most overrated piece of equipment in racing. That was in the original draft, but we decided not to use that one for whatever reason. Maybe it should have been in there.
But saved it for this show. I appreciate that.
But, you know, it's, you know, I guess it depends on what happens in the race. You know, they're either overrated or overpraised sometimes. But, there's a happy medium, and I think that from the fans' point of view, it just comes down to if the horse wins the race, then it was a great ride, and if the horse doesn't, then it was horrible. So,
right.
You know, it's sort of that – it's not either, you know, in that way. Not usually, but, you know, that was sort of the jumping-off point. Like, what is it really? You know, like, what's going on? You know, like – and if you just go back up, you know, if you don't have a vested interest in the race as a bettor or a trainer or something, it's obvious these are great athletes – that are doing things at a really high speed, at split-second decisions. I mean, it's an incredible thing to do for a living, and so much courage. To me, when I think about it, it's just mind-boggling when you look at racing.
I think the great jockeys know. I think most jockeys know when they screwed it up. They don't need some guy in a T-shirt telling them, you know, you're an idiot. You know, what were you doing out there? Because they know. A lot of times they may not admit it, at least, you know, publicly. But I always remember interviewing Pat Day after a race at Keeneland when I was working in the publicity department there. He was riding a horse for Elliott Walden, and the horse ran third, and he had a terrible trip. And Pat Day came back, and he said to me, Jude, I couldn't have ridden that horse any worse. And I almost fell over because that was the first time in my life after, you know, being on the racetrack pretty much my whole life and, you know, training horses for 20 years, I never had a jockey say that to me. And that really sold me on Pat Day because he admitted that was a horrible ride. And, you know, I didn't have a dog in the fight. I hadn't bet on him or anything, but I was interested to see what he would have to say, you know.
Don't you find that the downside is greater than the upside? For somebody that's a jockey, what I mean by that is if they do get a horse in trouble, the horse gets stopped, if he's supposed to win or not supposed to win, it doesn't matter. If somebody bets on that horse and the horse doesn't win and they blame the jockey, the downside is much greater than the upside. If the jockey wins, well, oh, yeah, I bet on him. I knew the horse was live. You know, the horse did all the work. The jockey doesn't necessarily get the level of praise as opposed to the level of criticism they get when they lose. Does that make sense?
Sometimes. I think it depends on the fan. I mean, there's some fans that I call jockeyologists. That's not in the book either. But
good term.
Everything's about the jockey. You know, there's some, and if you go to the track, you'll see these people. If you ask them who won the race, they'll say Castellano. Mm-hmm. They'll go like, "Really? Oh." Then you got to look up who the horse is. Sometimes, right. Really. I mean, you know, it's always the jockey. So it all depends. You know, and then people in racing, they'll tell basically most of them. They'll say the horse is 90% of it, roughly. That's a rough number, that the most common number that I heard doing this when I was doing interviews. 90%. You know, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But then that leaves 10%, you know?
Right.
So, you know, that's a big number, too, when you consider that if the races are written well and there's a good crop of horses at the track, it's going to be competitive. So that 10% is the difference. You know, it's, you know, given roughly equal levels of athlete horse-wise.
So. Bob Ford is joining us on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. His new book, co-authored with Gary West, is called Ride to Win. It's an inside look at the jockey's craft. Bob, and we only have a minute or two left here before we have to wrap it up, but what are some of the key things that you want people to know about Ride to Win?
Well, first, I want them to know where they can buy it.
Well done.
Which is at jockeytalk360.com. It costs $20 and plus shipping, and a portion of that, a good portion, goes to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund.
Yep.
So that's the first thing. And the second thing is just to, you know, if you're interested in horse racing, I think you'll probably do want to know what's going on out there from the jockey's point of view. So I think the book does that. So,
All right, Jockey Talk 360 is the place where you can get Ride to Win. Of course, Jockey Talk 360, a great partner of our Jock Talk program every Tuesday evening here on the network, which you can catch from 6 to 7 Eastern Time, and the PDJF, our official charity here on HRN. So a great cause and a great way to benefit that charity by purchasing the book Ride to Win. And what a great time to do it. You're thinking about, you know, Christmas gifts and things like that. And perfect time.
Well, yeah, Corey Johnson, who's, you know, Jockey Talk 360 is his website.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was part of the plans. Like, let's get it out before Christmas. So we did it. So hopefully it'll work out.
Well, Bob, we appreciate you being here. All the best with the book. Enjoy your book signing here at Gulfstream
this
afternoon. Yeah,
I really appreciate being on your show. It was a lot of fun. So thanks.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks my friend. And Bob Fortas, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Going to get to our next segment is your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington. And then we're back to visit with Eric Hamelback and Leroy Gessman of the National HPPA. Stay with us. The Equine Forum rolls on right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
This is the capsulized story of a man who was born in New York City on April 17, 1876. He graduated from Groton, Harvard, and Harvard Law. He inherited his 2,500-acre farm near Bowie, Maryland, and at first loaned out his stables. As his interest and involvement grew, he began breeding and racing horses in his renowned silks, White, Red Spots, Scarlet Cap. He became a prominent banker and sportsman and raced not only with enormous success in this country, but with recognized success in England as well. He bred the vast majority of the horses he raced, most of them at A.B. Hancock's Claiborne Farm near Paris, Kentucky. His own farm in Maryland was devoted mostly to the care of weanlings and as winter quarters for his racing stock. In addition to the success his horses enjoyed on the racetrack, he was equally as well known for the support he steadfastly afforded to measures meant to benefit breeding and racing and to keep the sport on a high plane. In 1935, when he was a guest of the Thoroughbred Club of America in Lexington, Kentucky, he was quoted as saying, quote, "I am very anxious to see the day before I shuffle off this mortal soil when the English will recognize our American studbook in its entirety," end of quote. He raced some of the very best horses in England, thereby showcasing the class of American bloodlines. His primary objective was a victory in the Epsom Derby, a goal he never achieved, sad to relate, but his horse, Prince Simon, was second by a head to Galcador in 1950. His horses won the Kentucky Derby, indeed. Gallant Fox in 1930, Omaha 1935, Johnstown in 1939. Gallant Fox and Omaha both went on to win the Triple Crown. Johnstown barely missed all three jewels by running fifth to Chaladon in the Preakness. Among other racing standouts carrying his colors to the winner's circle were Fairno, Apache, Fenelon, Bonnie Beryl, Granville, Gaffaman, and Vagrancy. He was known as a man of utterly remarkable energy and often climbed out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning to watch his horses work out under the eye of one of the legends of thoroughbred racing, Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, who trained for him for 30 years. In the world of business, he was the president of New York's Hanover National Bank from 1910 to 1929 and, after a merger, chairman of the board of Central Hanover Bank and Trust. His career as a banker had incepted in 1903 after having served 2 years as secretary to the American ambassador in Great Britain. One of the most markedly important contributions to American breeding was his partnership venture with Marshall Field, R.A. Faiburn, and A.B. Hancock, importing the great stallion Sir Galahad III from France in 1925, a stallion who became tremendously influential on and a cornerstone, I might add, of American breeding. This particular man was quoted in 1935 as follows, quote, "I believe in changes if they mean advancement and improvement, but as a sports writer friend of mine complimented me by calling me a gentleman of senile virility, I think I may say that the advancing age of the turf is an asset rather than a liability," end of quote. The man herein being profiled was indeed a man of wisdom, foresight, and unqualified personal integrity, and was a man whose racing colors still burn brightly on the pages of racing history, White, Red Spots, Scarlet Cap. He was Mr. William Woodward.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back.
Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Flatter, a graded son of AP Indy, continues to rank among leading sires. The sire of graded stakes horses in every crop, he consistently has runners at the highest level.
Upstart is pulling away to win the Holy Bowl,
but a very stylish performance from Terrace.
Kobe's back is back, wins it for Gary Stevens.
Powerful on the track and fashionable in the sales room, Flatter is from a top sire family. Flatter, at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
Carrick Gondi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard, News of Canarias, is fighting back. Carrick Gondi has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Carrick Gondi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Carrick Gondi with a rush on the outside goes Bannum. Late run from Adam Dahl. Carrick Gondi and O'Dahl. Carrick Gondi.
Gainesway is home to North America's leading sire, Tappet, and is proud to announce the addition of multiple group and grade one winner, Carrick Gondi. One of the leading juveniles in Europe, Carrick Gondi won the Group 1 Grand Criterium with a time form rating of 115, and at 3, he scored impressively in the Group 1 French 2000 Guineas and stormed home to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile at Santa Anita. Carrick Gondi, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce Summer Front for the 2016 breeding season.
Summer Front and Joe Bravo have won.
A multiple graded stakes winning millionaire by the Great War Front, Summer Front began his career as an undefeated multiple stakes winner at 2 before going on to win graded stakes at 3, 4, and 5. Boasting a top-class pedigree and the jaw-dropping looks that made him a $475,000 sales horse. The explosiveness, the looks, and the pedigree to be a truly important sire. Airdrie Stud's Summer Front. Think about it.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Royal Posse being sent up after him on the outside. Empire Dreams cuts the corner. Zevo's got work to do. And then it's Sea Raven on the outside. Gridley here, they're into the stretch. Saratoga Snacks taken on by Royal Posse as Empire Dreams tries to come up the fence. And Zevo is fourth in the final furlong. Saratoga Snacks, Royal Posse testing him. Empire Dreams coming up the rail. Saratoga Snacks, Royal Posse, these two. Royal Posse, Saratoga Snacks, bobbing heads down to the line. Too close to call. Saratoga Snacks, a Royal Posse. Empire Dreams third, Zevo fourth.
Well, it was Royal Posse getting the victory two starts back in the Evan Shipman Stakes at Saratoga. That was on September 4th. We'll see the New York bred back in action later this afternoon in the Claiming Crown Emerald, the Claiming Crown Jewel, which comes up as race number 11 this afternoon. Of course, our exclusive coverage of the Claiming Crown here on HRRN kicks off at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. Go to horseracingradio.net to listen worldwide and coast to coast. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, we are live from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, still under overcast skies and hoping the rain will hold off for the rest of the morning and into the afternoon. I think we have a pretty good shot of things being okay. There is some rain activity in the area, but so far so good here on this Saturday morning, opening day of the championship meet. Going to visit with Eric Hamelback and with Leroy Gessman here in just a moment. But before we get to that, I want to remind you that as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires. Like The Factor, the top freshman sire by a yearling average that's 15 times his stud fee. Or Union Rags, a grade one winning 2-year-old and classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by a weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then, of course, there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, simply visit lanesend.com. Well, the National HBPA does a lot of great things with owners, with trainers, and with horsemen coast to coast. And Eric Hamelback is the CEO. Leroy Gessman is the president of the National HBPA. They are actively involved with the Claiming Crown, of course, and they are with us now on the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End. Welcome to the program, Eric.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Everything is great. We're certainly looking forward to hopefully some blue skies as we look up. And it's great to be here with you and Jude. And on a great day, looks like a great card. And if our fingers can stay crossed and keeping the rain away, I think we're going to have a great day.
Now, people will remember Eric when he was with Adina Springs. He's been on the program several times, so it's not your maiden voyage, but it is for Leroy here this morning. So, Leroy, welcome to the program, my friend. Happy to have you with us, and happy Claiming Crown Day.
Well, thank you. It's a great day here and glad to be part of it.
Yeah, the Claiming Crown is so special to the National HBPA. Tell me a little bit about that relationship that the HBPA has with the Claiming Crown.
Well, this thing started in 1999 up in Canterbury. It was kind of thoughts from Randy Sampson and our longtime president up there in Minnesota is Tom Metzen. And these guys kind of put this thing together and kicked it off. And it turned out just kept growing and growing and growing. And then we tried moving it around a couple different places. And then it seems like we came down here 4 years ago and they've been real happy with it, so we'll see where we go next year. But
well, it's always a lot of fun to come down here for Claiming Crown. I mean, Mike and I have been doing it ever since it's been here in Florida. We love it, and it's a great way to kick off the Gulfstream meet. And I think most of the horsemen enjoy coming down here too, especially since we have horsemen from all over the country, and they don't often get to make trips here for the big Derby races. A lot of these people are just small time owners, and you know, it's a good experience for them to come here and see what it's like at Gulfstream Park.
Well, it's a great facility here, and you're right. It's for the small time owners that are the majority of these claiming horse owners. It's a great experience to come down here and kind of hang out with the big boys.
Could you ever imagine, Leroy, that we'd be looking at this event building to 9 stakes races, $1.1 million in purses, and, you know, traveling all the way here to Gulfstream for this event now?
No, I mean, when this thing, you know, I was kind of helping Tom get this thing kicked off, being the president in Iowa and being at Prairie Meadows next door. But, you know, I spent some time helping him get this thing kicked off and trying to get people to run in it initially. And for it to turn out to be this and be down here at Gulfstream, it's something I can never believe would have happened.
What? Tell me about the thought process in creating an event like the Claiming Crown.
Well, we just wanted to kind of let the guys that, you know, the hard-knocking horses that, you know, the small-time owners have some limelight and give them a little, you know, we tried to give them a little extra purse money than what they'd normally run for with a claiming horse.
You know, it's gotten to the point where these races are so competitive, but that people really point for him all year long. Mr. Ramsey's probably the poster child for that, but a lot of people are looking at horses to claim, specifically to run the Claiming Crown. I called my brother to claim a horse out in California for the Claiming Crown. He goes, "Oh, those races are too tough."
But I was just looking through the PPs here, and I see we have a horse in the sprint that ran in the Breeders' Cup.
So. Right. Right.
Yeah.
We've got several graded winners participating, and I kind of laughed about it when my brother said that to me, but I know it's true because we see him down here every year. It seems like there's some quality horses, and this year I think we have probably as many good horses as we ever had.
Yeah, no, I think that's for certain, and it has become, and again I go back to Mr. Ramsey. He's the poster child, and Mike Maker's stacked again. With several horses, but I think there is that thought now, that process of claiming a horse specifically to get it to here. And I was actually going to ask you, Jude, is this the first time that we've had a Breeders' Cup horse come into the Claiming Crown?
I think it's happened before. Okay. I wouldn't swear to it, yeah. but I think it's happened before. But my father-in-law, who writes for the Blood Horse, and he was texting me the other day about it. He goes, "I can't believe we got a Breeders' Cup horse in the Claiming Crown." He goes, "It's really tough, you know."
Yeah.
And he's got a good chance in that race, but it's not a walkover.
No, it's not a walkover. No.
And these races are really, really good, and I spent like 4 days handicapping, and of course everybody's been texting me this morning about the weather, what's the track like.
Yeah.
I tweeted out a couple of pictures of the racetrack so they could actually see it.
Yeah.
Pictures worth 1,000 words, and you can only use 140 characters on Twitter.
So, that's right.
There you go. It's sealed. That's what it looks like. Yeah. I took a picture of the finish line. That's what it looks like from the finish line. Now it's up to you. And I don't know what they probably will leave it pretty much sealed, I would think. I'd just like harrow it a little bit or scrape the surface.
I think that's what we heard last night, was they were going to leave it sealed as long as possible. And
I was close for training this morning. There wasn't a horse out there, and we haven't even seen a horse. We've been here for 4 days. I haven't seen a horse.
Not yet. Not yet. A few more hours. Talking with Eric Hamelback, Leroy Gessman of the National HBPA here on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. Eric, I mentioned at the top of the interview the relationship that the National HBPA has with owners and with trainers and with horsemen all over the country. Tell me a little bit about HBPA, some of the initiatives and some of the things that you're doing and working with horsemen.
Well, great. Yeah, no, it's on the national scale, we try to support all of the affiliates throughout the country. A lot of various initiatives in Washington that have an effect on, our everyday lives. And what we try to make sure occurs is that the people in the know remember the horsemen when they're making decisions. Obviously we are quite often in battles, if you want to say, like we are here in Florida with the decoupling process. We want to make sure that that the racing game stays a part of everybody's life, and we want to make sure that everything gets treated as fairly as possible. And in this instance, the extracurricular gaming, if you want to call it that, they come to us, we help support them, get them started, and now they want to break away. So that sort of thing is what we're always trying to keep a good tap on, and make sure that we always work for the rights of the horsemen and have an opportunity to do what's best for all of it.
Yeah, well, Leroy, that's always been the focus of the HBPA, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's, horsemen helping horsemen is the motto, and that's what we do. One of the things that kind of gets lost, though, we spend a lot of resources on both time and money, is helping the backside workers with benevolence. And, them guys, they work hard. They're 7 days a week, every day of the year, and they work hard and don't get paid a lot of money, and so we're there to help them with their medical issues and so forth as well.
Yeah, it's such a vital part of what the HBPA does, and they do a good job of it too. I mean, it's not just lip service. I mean, right. those people really need the help. They get it, and their lives are better for it. So it's a big, big part of the
HBPA. Yeah, you know, the other thing that strikes me when you think about the National HBPA is so many people, when they first hear it, especially if you're in the industry, you think, okay, well, it's an organization that represents trainers, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing you think of. But when you look at the number of owners that are involved in HBPA and represented,
that's
huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And a matter of fact, I mean, we've done, you know, an analytical demographic survey of our membership, and the one thing that rings true is the membership of the HBPA as a whole, affiliates, it's made up of 70% owners. And honestly, the next category at 20% is actually licensed owner slash trainer.
Oh, wow.
And then so you really only have 10% of our licensed membership that is a sole trainer. And that is a big misnomer that we're constantly trying to make sure people are aware of. I've heard it in Washington, D.C., you know, quote unquote, that trainer's organization. When in fact, not that that's anything derogatory, but our membership is made up of owners, certainly the majority of it. So it's something that we're trying to always make sure the owners are taken care of, and then obviously with the horsemen that put the game on for those owners, everybody's taken care of.
Yeah, thank God there's more owners than there are trainers.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. What are some of the key initiatives that you're going to be focusing on moving forward throughout, say, 2016 and beyond?
Well, one of our big initiatives, honestly, right after the first of the year, is going to be getting settled back here with the claiming crown. The contract is up, and as Leroy mentioned, it bounced around from New Orleans to Ellis, and so we would love to keep it here. The Florida HBPA has worked extremely well. Kent Sterling, in particular, when it started down here with the track management at Gulfstream, the Stronic Group, especially with Tim Ritvo and PJ Ocampo, they've been great to work with. So that's really one of the big things to get kicked off, in 2016, is to get this settled and move forward. And then there's a lot of tax initiatives, to bring it back to some of our campaigns that we want to make sure we try to advocate for that really help horsemen and owners. There's a lot of issues that Congressman Barr in Kentucky are bringing onto the national stage that can really help move forward. And then obviously the benevolence is always a big part of it. And the affiliates themselves do an amazing job. We have an entire committee for Welfare and Benefits Committee, National Welfare and Benefits Committee, that work extremely hard and making sure that proper information is disseminated throughout the country to make sure that everybody is taken care of as best as possible.
Well, it's the National HBPA, and we would encourage you to support that organization. They do a phenomenal job. You heard about the benevolence. You heard about the representation that they provide for all of the horsemen, owners, trainers, coast to coast here in the United States, and really doing a great job. Leroy, thanks so much for being here. Keep up the wonderful work. And Eric, thanks so much for everything
thanks.
You do.
And
looking forward to helping you out here in the future.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you. You guys do a great job, so
thanks,
keep it
Leroy.
Up.
Enjoy the claiming crown.
Thank you.
All right, don't forget owner Ken Ramsey set to join us in just a few minutes, 9 o'clock Eastern time. We'll get a chance to catch up with the Claiming Crown's all-time leading owner, and he's the all-time leading owner in a lot of different categories at a lot of different racetracks, and can't wait to visit with Ken, 9 o'clock Eastern time. Mike Nyman, the Director of Marketing at Gulfstream, will be with us at 9:40 Eastern as we roll on a very busy edition of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Introducing the Spendthrift for 2016 Palace, the multiple grade one winning millionaire and fastest son of leading sire CityZip. Palace proved to be a leading sprinter in North America in 2014 and 2015, winning such New York staples as the grade one Forgo Stakes, grade one Vanderbilt Stakes, and grade two True North Stakes. Palace is set to retire at season's end to Spendthrift. For more information on Palace, call us toll free at 888-816-8787. That's 888-816-8787.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today.
Jude Feld, the pontiff of the Pick 4. You hear him on HRRN Radio. Now get his personal selections directly from him at his new site, PopeJude.com. Every analysis sheet at PopeJude.com has his personal selections and insights. Each page is a handicapping lesson packed with years of racing knowledge, coupled with insider information gleaned from the pontiff's countless connections in thoroughbred racing. Whether you're looking for another set of eyes on the past performances or inspired racing analysis to assault the windows, PopeJude.com is the site for you.
Want to know what we're up to?
Yeah.
Then log on to horseracingradio.net.
It appears that the website has become alive.
Horseracingradio.net is your official home for HRRN on the web. Read our blogs, download our podcasts, link up to our Twitter and Facebook pages, listen to live streaming of all of our broadcasts, and much more. HRRN is your home for racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is horseracingradio.net. That's horseracingradio.net.
If it happens in horse racing, it happens on HRRN.
Stop charging. Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Racing's biggest events are right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Stephanie's Kitten, who moves against the rail, seven lengths off the lead, but Secret Gesture still the leader from Photo Call top of the stretch with Sentiero Italia third. Now Legatissimo is changing lanes, has to go to the outside. Here comes Sentiero Italia as well. Stephanie's Kitten is still fifth. Here's Photo Call right alongside of Secret Gesture. Stephanie's Kitten runs late toward the inside and finds an opening there. And Legatissimo on the outside, but Stephanie's Kitten bursting through an opening to the lead from Legatissimo. Stephanie's Kitten and Irad Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. Legatissimo was second across the line in 1:56 1/5 seconds.
Kurt Becker with the call of Stephanie's Kitten winning the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf at Keeneland just a short time ago. And boy, she was so impressive that day and so, so good throughout so much of her career. We're going to be joined by owner Ken Ramsey, of course, the owner of Stephanie's Kitten, in just a few moments. He'll join us at 9 o'clock Eastern time, so stay tuned for that. It's always a lot of fun. Of course, Ken, also the all-time leading owner in Claiming Crown history with 14 victories in the Claiming Crown. He has five entrants in this afternoon's races. All five are trained by Mike Maker, who is the all-time leading trainer in Claiming Crown history, also with 14 victories. Mike Penna and Jude Feld, we are with you high above the walking ring here at Gulfstream in Hallandale Beach, Florida, still under those gray, cloudy skies, but no rain has taken place over the past couple of hours, which is always a very good thing. If you're just joining us, we had a lot of rain in the area the past couple of days, but JT, so far, so good on this Saturday morning.
Yeah, it's pretty nice right now, a little breeze and a few patches of blue here, but according to forecasts, maybe 50% chance of rain from noon until
the end of the card, but remains to be seen. Hopefully it blows away. The HVPA guys were very optimistic that it was going to be nice, and at least we have two races on the turf as of right now, but we'll see what the weather brings this afternoon.
Yeah, races 3 and 10 still remaining on the grass. The turf course, the main track, both listed as good here at Gulfstream this afternoon. So keep that in mind as you're handicapping. The 9 claiming crown stakes races are races 3 through 11, $1.1 million in purses up for grabs in the 17th running of the claiming crown this afternoon. Our coverage, all presented by Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm, kicks off at 3 o'clock Eastern time. Make sure you join us then, and visit horseracingradio.net for a complete listing of information on that broadcast this afternoon. You know, we are officially in the holiday season, and you know what that means. People are traveling, and it should be a fun time to get away to see family and friends, but travel can also be a little bit stressful. Well, Verizon has something that can help. It's called VZ Navigator. This feature will help you travel this holiday season with ease. You can check the weather, nearby gas prices, and even get turn-by-turn directions to your destination. While you're driving, you can even receive traffic alerts and speed limits to help you arrive on time. That's VZ Navigator, only by Verizon. And, of course, you can visit verizonwireless.com to learn more about that outstanding product. Hour number two coming up, Ken Ramsey set to join us in just a moment. Mike Nyman will join us at 9:40 Eastern time. We'll do that all next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End.
The 37-year wait is over! American Pharoah is finally the one! American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown!
Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole, has the lead by six. Rachel's Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Stop Charging Maria, short lead. Stellar Wind is fighting on. Stop Charging Maria just keeps battling back. Stop Charging Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
And welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, kicking off Claiming Crown 2015. And we're doing it from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. Happy to have everybody with us on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 93, streaming worldwide on horseracingradio.net, and, of course, on affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country. Welcome back to the Equine Forum. If you did miss any portion of the first half of the show, you can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, get a podcast of this program and all of our programming. It's there for you, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes as well. JT? Claiming Crown 2015 is upon us.
Yes.
It's the Breeders' Cup for blue-collar horses, right?
It is. It definitely is. But not so blue anymore. They're starting to put on neckties, these horses.
Yeah, no kidding. Maybe the color of the Claiming Crown should be changed to red. Ramsey red.
No question about that. He is the king.
He is the king of a lot of different racetracks. He's the leading owner at so many different tracks, an Eclipse Award-winning owner and breeder, and he is owner Ken Ramsey, the all-time leading owner in Claiming Crown history with 14 wins, looking to add to that total with 5 entrants in today's races. Ken, always a delight, my friend.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be here. I think the latest feather in our cap, if you don't want to phrase it that way, I'd never won it before, but we won the owner's title at Belmont the fall meet. Totally unexpected, and we beat some very, very good teams that really tried to beat us. But Big Blue Kitten winning and Stephanie's Kitten and all that kind of set the stage for it. So I end up hauling one horse up there that won for me at Keeneland. He rode all night on the van, got there at 7:30 in the morning, and won for me that afternoon. I only beat Sheikh Muhammad and Darley by one. And that was a horse that did it. I hauled him all night. Joe Sharp said, Ken, you're surely not going to send this horse up there. And I said, hey, if we don't go, we don't have a shot. So we pulled it off. You never know.
That was a good move. I had that happen one time. The van company forgot to pick up my horse. And they said, well, we can take him up early in the morning. And it was Friday night at Bay Meadows, and that's what they did. They took him up in the morning, and he won that night. That might be a good system.
I tell you what, I just keep throwing the mud on the wall. You never know how much of it's going to stick.
Yeah. Well, you've had a lot of it stick over the years. It's worked out pretty well. Hey, it stuck really well in the Breeders' Cup this year with Stephanie's Kitten. We had a little rejoin clip a few moments ago, Stephanie's Kitten winning that filly and mare turf. First of all, congratulations. We haven't caught up since then, so congratulations. What a day.
Thank you very much. It was kind of bittersweet to have to sell the filly, but we had to take a little money off the table. But she's going to a great home. The gentleman that bought her over in Japan, so she'll be on the same island that Roses and May is already on. So when I go over there, I can visit both of them. But he put her in what they call the Jewel Box. Now, the Jewel Box is a barn over there that all the mares in the barn he has paid at least $1 million for at auction. So you know that barn has got to be special, the feed, Whoa. The security. So she could not be in better hands. So, but anyway, we have to, you know, take some money off the table. I've got a new program going. I'm calling it Sperm for Dirt. And the sperm for, yeah. What I've done, I have taken the revenue that Kitten's Joy is generating in the breeding shed. And I bought seven other pieces of land this year, including a big addition to my farm. So I guess you'd say that maybe Stephanie's Kitten was ovaries for dirt. But bought one really historic place up there called Charmire du Paris, where three presidents have stayed. And Henry Clay was a weekly visitor. Aaron Burr was there 2 weeks under house arrest. Like Andrew Jackson stayed there. James Monroe stayed there. And Zachary Taylor stayed there. So a very, very historic place, and we're renovating it, putting it back. And this is some of the Stephanie's Kitten money that's doing that with.
Wow. Well, that's really cool. That's
yeah,
a,
it's
that's
a great
a
story.
Great, great thing to do.
Back in the historical preservation now. How about that?
That's great. That's great. And well, you should be. That's fantastic. I mean, you know, the horses are great, and everything you do with the horses is awesome. But, you know, I always tell people about your family and how important that is to you. And to me, that's more important for people to know about you than the horses. I mean, the horses are your entertainment, but your family's number one.
Family comes first, and that's the way it should be in anybody that cares about their family. We got a good family. The grandsons and granddaughters are all coming on. All of them are interested in it. In the estate planning thing, we're trying to set it up so everybody ends up with a horse farm, and those who want to play the game can play it, and those who don't can sell out and, you know, do something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sean Clancy caught up with Ken right after Stephanie's Kitten crossed the finish line. It was almost immediate, and you were so emotional. And I know a lot of that emotion came from the fact that she is named Stephanie's Kitten after your granddaughter.
After granddaughter. It's very emotional for the wife, too. I mean, she had tears in her eyes, and the whole family was, because she'd been a little bit disappointment there in a couple races. Worst, I guess, hard luck filly we've ever had. Just seemed like nothing went with her. She got several, got out, you know, beat by head bob or poor pace. There wasn't any pace in the race. So to see her come through and like the Red Sea parties, you know, and here come Ired right down the middle. And it was obvious, you know, and he looked back. We got a real nice picture hanging on the wall at the house of him looking back. Like, where's the competition?
Well, I thought that was such a fitting way for her to go out, because she's just been such a hard knocker her whole life. And for her to come up with that performance on that day, I just thought that was awesome. That was really one of my favorite races.
And I'll tell you the truth, I really didn't care whether I sold her or not. If I got the price, fine. I was going to sell her. We put a reserve on her. She did not bring a reserve. They called back the next day and made me an offer I couldn't refuse. So, anyway, all's well and ends well, and she's over there, and we've got the historic place, and we'll go forward from here.
Yeah, that's and cool. And another Breeders' Cup runner, Bobby's Kitten, who you told us maybe one of your favorite horses, going to stand stud at Ramsey Farm when he's done. He's going to be heading to Europe this year, right?
Well, he's in quarantine up in Ocala now. He'll be going over in about another week or 10 days. Dermot Wells is going to be taking care of him over there. The goal over there is to try to win the win at Royal Ascot. We have and all the Grade One winners over there, sprints, are in over in Europe. No Grade One sprints over here. So we think basically he's a closing sprinter. And of course, the goal would be after we win a Grade One with him over there and excite the Europeans about the benefits of breeding the Kitten's Joy, we're going to try to bring him back. And the real goal is to win the Breeders' Cup with him again at Santa Anita, 6.5 furlongs going downhill.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Look forward to seeing Bobby's kitten in action.
Oh, you know, Royal Ascot. He's one of my favorites. He still owes me money from the first time he ran in the Breeders' Cup.
Well, there again, he's out there on the pace setting those fractions of 21 and 40, yeah. 44 and 1. And
we didn't think he could lose that day, right?
Oh, yeah, I didn't either. Yeah. I was just heartbroken. Yeah.
Right? I had a big number on him in Europe, too.
And I was heartbroken again when he won out there because when he crossed over the dirt, he's dead last. Yep. Oh, my God, Rosario's got him way back there. And then here he come, and I could hardly believe my eyes. That was the most spectacular race I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
From last to first in that short a deal. So I showed, hey, this horse has got it. And he's got the genetic pool to do it with as a sire. So I think he's Kitten Joy's understudy.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, he just exploded. He really did. What a super nice horse. And really look forward to seeing him in action. Ken Ramsey joining us on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, Ken. I mentioned the 9 stakes races today on the Claiming Crown card. You have 5 entrants. You're looking to add to your record total of 14 Claiming Crown victories today. The first is St. Borealis, the defending champ in the Tierra. I remember sitting here with you a year ago, and you were telling us how much you liked St. Borealis. Well, here he is again. Do we like him this much yet again?
I have not done it. And now, really handicapping, especially after stake race, after the since the scratches aren't out. But I put it this way, we brought down three pairs of new silks, and some of them are wearing dirty silks today on the dirt. We got new silks on her. She could get there, but this is a very, very tough race. I mean, yeah. not my favorite horse to win today. I think Purely Boy is probably my favorite. And I don't know how this horse from California is going to come in after we flew him in here because he's only been in Mike Maker's barn for 3 days.
Yeah.
But, anyway, we'll see how it pans out this afternoon.
Yeah, and by the way, I think I said him when I said St. Borealis. It is a 5-year-old mare is St. Borealis, and the defending champ in the Tierra, and 1 of 5 from the barn of owner Ken Ramsey coming up this afternoon. Ken, why has the Claiming Crown been so good to you? What's the key?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think one of the greatest compliments I've ever been paid in the industry was a little, and it wasn't intended as a compliment. They wrote a story about me after we won the Barbados Gold Cup. I don't know if it's the first time or second time. But said that Ken Ramsey is an uncommon, common man. And I thought, well, I looked at it and I said, that's pretty good. So I am blue collar all the way to start with, the core. I was raised in a small community of population 500. We did not have any indoor plumbing. We had a well out there with a pitcher pump on it. So I didn't grow up poor. I was considered middle class because in Artemis there was no class. In other words, we was all the same. It didn't matter. I mean, nobody was on. Everybody helped everybody out. So I come from that type of a background. Although my pedigree, if you trace it back, is not too bad because I am directly descended from King Edward III. So I got probably 1 millimeter of drop of royal blood in my veins. I am only 64 generations removed from the Queen, Her Majesty of England. Yes, she doesn't know that.
You're the first one to tell her?
No, I haven't told her.
Oh, you haven't told her?
It's the first time I ever mentioned it. But speaking about blue collar, somebody has filtered down. So I am blue collar. Commiserate with the common man, so to speak, because I am common myself with the background and grew up. I didn't start off with a silver spoon in my mouth with anything. My daddy left a grand sum of $15,000 cash to 3 kids. Unfortunately, I had a brother and a sister, had to divide it. So I only came away with $5,000.
That's a small pick six ticket, man.
Small pick six ticket. That's right. I've lost more than my entire inheritance. Now, he did leave a farm, okay? He left a farm, too. So, but the cash was not all that plentiful.
Well, Ken Ramsey's being a little bit humble here, right, with the common man thing, right? But let's face it, when you're coming to the Claiming Crown, you put a lot of time and a lot of effort into finding the right horses that are going to fit these races, and it starts months before this Claiming Crown.
Yes, I am very much disappointed that we don't have one in the big $200,000 race, the Jewel.
Yeah.
I mean, we need
one.
Yeah,
what happened there?
Yeah, well, I don't know. We looked and looked and looked and just nothing fit. And Mike does have one in there, but he claimed it for somebody else. But I usually, you know, tell him the ones to claim, so I missed that one. you can't get them all. I've kind of been spread a little thin, you know, trying to take care of some other projects. I've got other things going besides horse racing right now.
Yeah, and all those Breeders' Cup races and stuff.
Yeah.
But I do look forward to it. We like this horse from California. I spotted that one out there, and we went out and bought him and brought him back. And I'd like to have got him about a month ago so we could tune him up in our own program, pull the blood, and did all the stuff necessary to make a winner. But he may run. It's a good claim. I mean, yeah. He's won, four in a row, so he could be gold here today.
Yeah,
I like his name, Newfound Gold.
Yeah, why not, right? Yeah, claimed him out of that winning effort at Del Mar last time out and has been a win machine. You mentioned that win streak coming into here has won 7 of his last 8, has Newfound Gold. And, of course, he's a contender in that Rapid Transit today. And, Ken, I look back at the past 2 years of this horse. He's been on the board in 17 of 19 starts the past 2 years. This horse is as honest as they come.
Hey, like you say, I think Win Machine describes it all. Anytime you have 16 wins, 16 seconds, and 9 thirds, I put a new set of jock silks on him. He might not get them dirty. He does like to run on the front end.
Yeah.
So I think the word for him today is go, go, go.
How great is it to have a horse like that that just shows up every time?
That's fantastic.
Well, that's the way I think he's probably going to win the Eclipse Award or certainly got a chance to. I'm talking about Big Blue Kitten.
Yeah.
He defeated the everybody over here in America that I think that really has got a shot at it. And the fillies, it's a turf, male turf course, so she doesn't qualify because of the ovary situation. So I think he's got a shot. But anyway, that horse was in the money 26 out of 29 times. I mean, Big Blue Kitten. I mean, he was there every single time, irregardless of competition. The only bad race he threw in was in a swamp over at Royal Ascot. I was trying to get off the schneid, as they call it over there. I've never won there. I've got seconds and thirds and missed by head bob with Frankie Dettori, who, by the way, just got the jockey of the world.
Yeah, he did. leading jockey title.
He got off and he said, if I'd got started one step quicker, I'd have got just barely got beat. Oh, terrible. Horse called Cannonball.
Wow.
And he came like a cannonball.
Have you ever met the queen when you've been over there?
Yes, I had. Yeah, she invited me to high tea one time.
No kidding.
Spent 35 minutes with her. They timed me.
They got you in and out of there in 35 minutes?
One of the most exciting things ever happened to me.
Yeah.
We had a horse running, and it was Cannonball. And had a, no, I'm not sure, it might not have been. Anyway, the guy came up and said, the queen has invited you to high tea this afternoon at 4 o'clock. You know, that's when they have high tea. I guess they got low tea, too. I don't know when they have low tea. Anyway.
That sounds like a medical problem.
That's what I said. I said, you mean if I win the race, I get to, speak to Her Majesty, the Queen? And he said, no. He said, you're invited up, no matter what. And I said, gee, how'd that occur? And he said, we give the Queen, about 20 different resumes, and says this year she decides she want to speak to a horse person. So I guess she does that maybe each Royal Ascot meet. Because she's over there every single day. Matter of fact, the bookies lay odds on what color hat she's going to wear.
Okay.
You can actually bet on the color of her hat that day. So he said no. Said what we did. So we submitted the 20 and said she picked your name out. I said, really? Did she make any comments to why? And she said, I've seen him on television. And he's a very interesting character, and I think I'd enjoy talking to him. That's good enough for me.
Outstanding.
You didn't ask her what color hat she was going to wear the next day.
No, I did mention it to her, and she passed it off. She said something to the effect, I can't believe they do something like that. But did not give me any hint on what she was wearing the next day.
Here, Ken, have a peach.
No, not even any subtle clues. But she does know her horses. She is the most gracious, hospitable person you'd ever want to meet. I mean, I was kind of nervous going in there, but, I asked him, I said, what do you say to the Queen? And he said, well, she'll ask you questions which you know the answer to. And she did. I thought she was going to ask me what my name was and all that, but she talks horses. And when she started talking horses, I kind of felt at ease. And I was never, it was just like sitting here talking to you guys.
Yeah.
I just came across, and she just like, one of the gang, so to speak. But she's one of the most respected figures in the world, not only over there, but around the world. And just a delight to be honored to have a little country boy like Martimus speak to the Queen. That speaks what our industry is.
Yeah.
I mean, the horses kind of is a medium of exchange. Like, I've been in the presence of Sheikh Mohammed. you know, won the Dubai World Cup one time. So, I mean, how in the world would somebody like me ever even be in the presence of somebody like the the Queen of England and the ruler of Dubai? It's just amazing how far you can go if you got some good horses and they can win a few big races on a national or international stage.
And now you're going to go for your unprecedented third Barbados Gold Cup.
Yes. Nobody has ever pulled it off. Sir David Seal, and I got all due respect to him, because to be a knight, you have to be knighted by the Queen herself. So he has been to Buckingham Palace, and the Queen has knighted him, you know, laying the sword on his shoulder and tapping him on the head. I don't know what the exact ceremony is, but it's something along that line. He's very proud of it. I address him as Sir David Seal, and he's known that way. He's won a total of 7 Barbados Gold Cups, kind of getting a monopoly on it down there. But he has never won 3 in a row. He won back-to-back like 2002 and 3 and maybe 8 and 9. But we pulled it off in 14-15, so I got an opportunity to do the hat trick. Last year, we won it Major Marvel. First year was really spectacular. Then I got him body back for the second time, and this time we had sent an entry down. So I had one called Gentleman's Kitten, who I really thought would win. Patrick Husband's riding, the best jockey down there. You know, he always wins a jockey title, usually up at Woodbine. So he's riding, and we go off 4-5. Now, I have a rabbit in the race, one called Sayers Creek. He goes off, I believe, 13 or 14-1. Well, coming out the gate, you can see that the other jockeys did not really care whether Patrick Husband's had a good trip or not. To put it mildly, he got bumped. He got carried out on a turn for home. He got carried out the parking lot. Meanwhile, Sayers Creek on the front end, nobody's paying any attention to him. He romps, wins about 4. So they interviewed me after the race and said, "Mr. Ramsey, which one did you bet on, the 4-5 shot or the one that paid 30-some dollars?" I said, "Hey, I bet on both of my horses. I thought each of them had a chance to win." So this year we're going down with 2 again. You know, and I'm going to...
Who are the 2 horses?
Well, I really don't want to have to take Shining Copper down there. But I heard through the grapevine that Coolmore might be interested in winning the race. Because they winter down there, you know.
Yeah.
Mr. Smith, Derek Smith, very nice. I mean, they got a big suite down there, invited me over for a drink and all that. So I heard that they, you know, thought that maybe it might be their turn. So I may have to take Shining Copper down, because if Coolmore decides they want to win it, I'm in deep poo-poo.
Now, you said they listened to our show down there.
Well, yes, I got some comments after last year I mentioned. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I've got the Patrick Husband lined up to ride one of my horses, and the jockey last year that won is all set, I think, to go again. So we're planning on taking a couple down.
I have taken a couple boys from the radio show.
Well, yeah, broadcast you need your own radio network to cover this historic event.
It's a great place. I end up getting to swim in the ocean with the horses down there. I mean, not with my own horses, because they're in quarantine, but they don't let them out. But
yeah.
My trainer, Jonathan Simpson, very good. His family's been on the island since the 1600s.
Wow.
His mother is a real good friend of everybody on the island. Matter of fact, I'm trying to get him a Kentucky Colonel's commission.
Oh, there you go.
Not quite like being knighted, but pretty close.
Pretty close.
Yeah. Hey, Sir David might appreciate being a Kentucky Colonel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To heck with that. Sir, a bit.
Sir David, one of the biggest rum distillers in the world.
And, he is.
And has fantastic rum, one of my favorites. Foursquare rum is a really delicious rum.
I tell you what, last year in addition invited me out to his home, after the next day after races, he gave me a tour of the facilities down there. Beautiful place. Couldn't be more gracious. Gave me a bottle of his very best 10-year-old rum. He also has a Pepsi-Cola bottling thing. His family's been down there since the 1600s, too, so he's well-known on the island. As a matter of fact, I guess he's the man.
Yeah.
So much history.
And he'd probably be Colonel. Which one do you think? Colonel Sir David, that sounds good.
Yeah, we'll put the Colonel first.
Yeah, put the Kentucky Colonel first.
Well, Ken, look, we only have about a minute or so left. We have to get to another commercial break. But real quick, you mentioned the name Purely Boy at the top of the interview, going in the Emerald. You said maybe your best chance to win today of the 5. How come?
He's another win machine.
Yep.
He's on, and we've had him for a while. We know he's going to put in his race. I just think he's got a big shot. And I also want to mention and congratulate the Kittens Joy's last grade one winner, Carpractor, won the Hollywood Derby out there. Glen Hill Stables, Craig Burnick is, I'm on the board of trustees with Natoba, good friend of mine. So he had faith in Kitten's joy from the very beginning, so I really congratulate him and tip my hat to rising tide raises all ships, so he's raised Kitten's Joy up by getting another Grade 1 winner. Grade 1's are hard to come by.
Yeah, and Kitten's Joy back in the top five. I mean, this horse
he's top
every
four.
Single year. Now he's top four. Yeah, every single year. He's right there. Of course,
very
champion
consistent.
Sire, too.
You're in and you're out. You're in and you're out. He's more than double any other horse on the turf sire.
Wow.
Well,
unbelievable.
He is a great sire, and Craig's a really sharp guy, and I'm so glad that he's taken over Glen Hill Farm for his grandfather.
And his grandfather,
Mr. Lavin.
Lavin, they had two that day.
That's right.
Yeah, won two. Big day for him. Neither one of them was a favorite. They both paid boxcars.
Wow. Wow. Well, don't forget all of our coverage of the Claiming Crown exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. It kicks off 3 o'clock Eastern this afternoon. It is all presented by Kitten's Joy standing at Ramsey Farm in Nicholasville, Kentucky. And you can learn more by going to RamseyFarm.com. And Ken, can't thank you enough for all your support of what we do year-round here on the network. Thank you so much, and all the best today, and all the best with Barbados and Ascot, and we'll talk to you plenty, I'm sure, over the next couple of months, but thanks so much for everything.
Yeah, I do want to thank Mr. Stronach for having the Claiming Crown find a home down here. I appreciate the way he's got it set up, and it's a great place to have it. Since I live down here in the wintertime, it makes it very convenient for me. So thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
All right, Ken Ramsey here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Always a lot of fun, always a delight. We're going to get to a break. We're going to come back with more. We're live from Gulfstream Park. It is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and it's all presented by Lane's End.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents, and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit NicholsonInsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
Every industry has a way to compare quality. The benchmark in the thoroughbred industry has always been Grade 1 winners, and no other active sire in North America has had more success than Giant's Causeway. His Grade 1 supremacy continues with stars like Brody's Cause.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run!
Giant's Causeway, standing at Coolmore America, home of champions.
And they're off to New York! The premier state-bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Power. Caracondi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard News Arcanarius is fighting back. Caracondi has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Caracondi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caracondi with a rush on the outside goes by him. Late run from Anodor. Caracondi and Anodor. Caracondi.
Gainesway is home to North America's leading sire, Tappet, and is proud to announce the addition of multiple Group and Grade 1 winner, Caracondi. One of the leading juveniles in Europe, Caracondi won the Group 1 Grand Criterium with a time form rating of 115, and at 3, he scored impressively in the Group 1 French 2000 Guineas and stormed home to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile at Santa Anita. Caracondi, standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Blue is Bay, way wide, but now in front. Then it's Thrilled, followed by Disco Rose.
and lost Raven and Floridora. They passed the 16th pole, and Lewis Bay has the lead as they come for the finish in the Demoiselle.
Lewis Bay, bred and owned by Alpha Delta Stables, won the Grade 1 Demoiselle this past weekend. Trained by Chad Brown, the daughter of Darley Stallion Bernardini, sat just off the pace and rolled to a very professional 1 3/4 length victory under jockey Irad Ortiz Jr. Her winning effort in the Grade 1 Demoiselle makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Bernardini has produced 14 career Grade 1 winners, including a Travers winner in each of his first two crops. Grade 1 Demoiselle winner Lewis Bay is one of four stakes winners from his current two-year-old crop, a list that includes other Grade 1 winners, Rachel's Valentina and Greenpoint Crusader. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is David Cohen, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Zenyatta, if she wins this, she'll be a super horse. She's starting to pick them off, though. Zenyatta going to hook to the outside. Meanwhile, it's Colonel John Summerbird in the red cap. And Zenyatta's come to the outside. Zenyatta coming flying on the grandstand side. Gio Ponti on the inside. Summerbird is right there. This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance. One we'll never forget. Looked impossible, but it is Zenyatta. Still unbeaten under Mike Smith. Gio Ponti second, Summerbird, and then Richard's Kid. What a dramatic performance. One of the most sensational ever. Zenyatta wins the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum. That's Barron and Pontiff. We are live from Gulfstream Park getting ready for the 17th running of the Claiming Crown this afternoon. Of course, our coverage kicking off 3 o'clock Eastern. And, boy, that call from Trevor Denman is one of his signature calls now. You know, this is unbelievable. And, Jude, yesterday the news coming out that Trevor will no longer call races at the Great Race Place, Santa Anita, in Arcadia, California. He will still call at Del Mar, but he's going to retire from calling races at Santa Anita. Last year we saw Tom Durkin step down here on the East Coast, and now Trevor cutting back on the West Coast. And another major name on the announcer front kind of backing off. Not retiring completely, but backing off and stepping away from Santa Anita.
Yeah, well, Trevor's done a great job out there for many, many years. And, you know, he's going to be missed during the regular Santa Anita meet. But it's a situation where, you know, he has some other things on his plate and things he wants to do. I mean, we even heard Mr. Ramsey a few minutes ago say, you know, he was a little bit too busy this year to really concentrate on the Claiming Crown claims like he usually does. He had too many other things going on. So Trevor's got a lot of things going on in his life. He's a big animal activist, and so he's going to spend more time doing that and a little less time working. And rightly so. He's worked very hard for about the last 25, 30 years.
We teased this yesterday on Express Bet Radio. But we have a major announcement forthcoming for you here on the network. It involves our programming for next year. We're going to break that news for the very first time in just a moment. But before we get to that, I want to remind you that as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires, like The Factor, the top freshman sire, by a yearling average that is 15 times his stud fee. Or Union Rags, a Grade 1 winning 2-year-old and a Classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then, of course, there's Twirling Candy, 2015 leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. So when it comes down to it, well, Lane's End Stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, all you have to do is visit lanesend.com. All right, JT. So I feel like we need some kind of drum roll or something for this, but we're going to go without. We'll do it dry. Okay, how's that sound? All right, beginning February 6th. Now, you remember this past summer, we spent the entire summer at Saratoga, and we launched a brand new series in partnership with NYRA that was called Saturdays at Saratoga. And every single Saturday during the meet, we brought you exclusive coverage of the major stakes throughout the entire meet, start to finish.
Right.
Well, it was such a hit. We received such great feedback from listeners, from horsemen, from sponsors, that we have decided to partner with Gulfstream this winter. And beginning February 6th, every single Saturday from February 6th through the Florida Derby on April 2nd, we will be on site here in South Florida, right where we are now at Gulfstream Park, to bring you exclusive coverage of all of their major stakes races every single Saturday. And it's all called Saturdays at Gulfstream. And can't wait to bring it your way here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yeah, that's going to be very exciting. Looking forward to the whole stakes program down here. It's just awesome. Every weekend, big stakes, a lot of group races leading up to the Florida Derby. And it's going to be just a pleasure to be down here. One of the most beautiful facilities and racing venues in the United States, and great weather. So I'm very excited to be coming down here and spending the winter in Florida.
Yeah, it's going to be spectacular. Again, it all kicks off February 6th. It is Saturdays at Gulfstream exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can visit our website, horseracingradio.net, for that complete broadcast schedule. But it's 9 consecutive weeks we will be here for you. Of course, not only are we here for the Claiming Crown this afternoon, but we'll return for Sunshine Millions in the middle of January. That is on our schedule as well. And again, it's all there for you at horseracingradio.net. So make sure that you continue to make the Horse Racing Radio Network your home for racing's biggest events. Listeners in more than 160 countries have done so here in 2015. And we thank you for that. And we encourage you to tune in and make it bigger and better than ever here in 2016. We're going to get to a quick break. Mike Nyman is the director of marketing here at Gulfstream Park. We're going to talk to him about this Claiming Crown Day, opening day of the championship meet, and we'll look ahead to what you can expect throughout this meet over the next several months. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Click, order, eat. The new way of ordering Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Good Sandwiches is a trend that's sweeping the country. With me tonight to discuss this amazing phenomenon is Ed Stephanopoulos.
Hello.
America's favorite sandwich delivery guy.
That's not entirely true, Bob.
Excuse me?
Technically, all Jimmy John's delivery guys are America's favorite sandwich delivery guys, not just me.
I see. Okay, but we're here tonight to...
Actually, what I just said wasn't entirely true either, Bob. See, some of Jimmy John's delivery guys are actually delivery gals.
All right, so now we...
Or women, or ladies, or females, or persons of the non-male gender.
Ed, could we...
Although I guess that would be a mouthful.
A what?
I mean, if I had to say America's favorite sandwich delivery women or ladies or females or persons of a non-male gender.
Okay, let's say that regardless of whether your Jimmy John's sandwich will be delivered by a guy or a gal...
Or a woman or...
The fact remains that now you can order that sandwich online using Jimmy John's amazing Click Order Eat system.
That's correct, sir.
And what would you say is the basis of that system, Ed?
The what?
The basis, the essence, the sine qua non.
It's Click Order Eat, Bob.
Moving along here, Ed, what would you say has made Click Order Eat so wildly popular?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
It's freaky fast.
Bingo, Bob.
Click, order, eat. Jimmy John's freaky fast new online ordering system.
You sound just like a commercial, sir.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, inviting you to join me for Express Bet Radio on HRRN. Tune in for live racing action from around the country every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. It's the place to be on your drive home, through the final furlong of your workday, and for all fans of the sport of kings. It's Express Bet Radio on HRRN on Sirius 220, XM 206, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton.
And we're going to kick things off with trainer Graham Motion. Hall of Fame trainer Phil Mott here on Trainer Talk. Roger Atfield is going to be with us for the next half an hour.
Carl Nasker, an honor to have him on the show tonight. Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee, nice enough to spend some time with us.
I want to welcome Hall of Famer Bob Baffert to the program.
Trainer Talk, the biggest names in horse racing. Wednesdays, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 220 and XM 206. And always streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The course specialist, Joe's Blazing Aaron, goes to the top of the stretch on a two-length lead. Golden Rifle is second. Toward the outside, Padilla's trying to come on. My Point Exactly did not go on with it. Zane is widest of all. Top of the lane, Joe's Blazing Aaron trying to seal the deal. Golden Rifle is there second. My Point Exactly rebids up the fence. Then to the outside, it's Zane, and coming up the inside was Padilla. Final furlong, here's Golden Rifle at Joe's Blazing Aaron. Golden Rifle stalked the pace setter and ran him down late. Golden Rifle the winner. Joe's Blazing Aaron second in front of My Point Exactly third, then Padilla in 142-4.
Oh, Golden Rifle, one of the major players on this Claiming Crown card. Again, 9 stakes races coming up this afternoon at Gulfstream Park. They are races 3 through 11. $1.1 million in purses on the line. Keep in mind that races 3 and 10 are both still on the grass. The turf course listed as good. The main track, as of this morning, also listed as good because of the rain that we've had in the area over the past couple of afternoons. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, we are with you here at Gulfstream getting set for the coverage, which kicks off at 3 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon. Mike Nyman is the Director of Marketing here at Gulfstream, and boy, are they on a roll as we welcome in the 2015-2016 championship meet. And Mike, as always, a delight to have you with us, my friend.
Great to be here. It seems like you were just there a few months ago. I mean, the year goes by so quick.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It is. And it's always great to come here for opening day of the championship meet. When you look at the meet, you're looking at a meet that's going to offer a record $11.61 million in purses. You're also looking at a record 73 stakes races, including 37 graded stakes, you know, kind of leading up to the Florida Derby on April 2nd.
How can you beat that? It's an amazing program that PJ Campo and the racing office put together here, and it just continues to build every year. We were way oversubscribed for stalls, so every stall we have here at Gulfstream at our training center in Palm Meadows, one's over at Gulfstream Park West, a.k.a. Calder, all filled. So, unfortunately, you know, had to turn away a lot of horses, but I guess that's a good problem to have in this industry, and it's the reason that we've had such good field sizes here over the years.
Yeah, the field sizes are unparalleled, really. It is the best winter racing now, I think, by a long margin.
There's no doubt about it. I think Gulfstream in the last 5 years has really elevated itself to really, you know, a top A track and can stand shoulder to shoulder with all the other, you know, major tracks such as obviously Saratoga and Keeneland and Del Mar and those type of meets. So it's been great to be here. And, you know, it started off with Tim Ritvo here. Did an amazing job. Of course, they have him up doing the same thing in Maryland now. And then P.J. Campos come in here the last couple of years, became the general manager. And we have a really good crew of people here, people that really are passionate about the business, love horse racing, love, you know, love the sport, love the animal, and just love being here at Gulfstream. And, you know, when you're in a place where, you know, everything is kind of up on the rise, it just makes it so much better. You know, there's been so much negative about the industry over so long, and people kind of sit writing it off for dead, and Gulfstream Park proves that that's not the case. And if you live here in South Florida and you come out here and see how the makeup of the crowds has changed, the demographics, how much younger we've gotten here and how much a mix between cultures and male and female, it's just something we've been able to really promote here well in South Florida and market it well. I think it shows a lot for... If we had some more national marketing, I think it would be better for the game. But I think we've shown that if it's marketed right and you put out a good product, then you know, you'll have success.
And you come into the championship meet off of a highly successful meet just across town at Gulfstream Park West, where the numbers there were all up.
Yes, we were up 18% there for the meet.
Yeah.
And it was a tough meet to run because I'm sure, as a lot of people are aware, Calder is going to be tearing down the grandstands shortly. And we didn't have use of that, so we had to kind of treat it as a little bit of a festival with tents and, you know, more of an outdoor kind of flavor to the meet. So in all with all of that. But the bottom line was the racing was really solid. We did really well, and we proved. And I think that's what proves in this industry. I think they told us at a meeting the other year. Last year was the first year we ran that meet. That meet the year before, when it was run by Calder, we did 140%, something like that, more in handle. So it showed, wow. and it's a similar meet. It's not like it, you know, a whole difference. Similar type racing and horses and conditions, and just show, you know, leveraging the Gulfstream brand really is huge.
What's going to happen with that racing going forward?
Well, right now, we'll continue to do it. We have a contract with them till 2020. The only thing that can change that is the state has been talking about decoupling the casinos from the paramutuals. And if that happens, then there won't be a requirement for Calder to have to run 40 days of racing at their property in order to have a casino license. So that'll probably all go away, and then we'll have to see what goes from there.
You know, Eric Hamelbeck threw that word out there earlier from the HBPA when he talked about decoupling. Good or bad for racing here in South Florida if that comes to be?
Well, it's really, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to the whole thing. You know, the casino has to be taken into account because, you know, we're in a market here where only paramutual, other than the Indian casinos, but all the paramutuals in these two counties, which is about 7 or 8 properties, have casinos. They all lose money in paramutual racing, whether it's Hialeah with quarter horses or the dog racing or harness racing at Pompano, Hialeah. So they have to run those cards, so they try to lose as little money as they can to make their casinos work. From the horseman's point of view, they have a good thing because in the legislation for a casino at a thoroughbred track, which really was only us and Calder, we had to have a contract with the horsemen and the breeders in order to run a casino. The other paramutual properties are not saddled with that. So we're here at a place like Gulfstream where 12% of the casino goes to purses, which definitely helps the racing business. The other places are not a subject to that. So on the casino side of it, it makes it a little tougher for us as far as the competition, because obviously it gives them more money for promotions and marketing and so on and so forth. The problem is today, I think, with the decoupling, the horsemen obviously don't want it. They're the, you know, major force behind that. But the problem that they're going to have is that right now is the dog activist groups who have been against dog racing and have stopped it in states like Massachusetts, and it's really kind of going away. They've obviously doing the same thing in Florida. Being in the past, they were the opposition to the greyhound racing, but now they're on the same side. So the racetrack, the greyhound racetrack, and the greyhound activists, or the dog animal rights activists, are all together and trying to get this done. It looks like decoupling probably will happen at some point.
Well, I guess it in general makes sense. I mean, if you're running a business and part of your money's going elsewhere, you're not going to be happy about it. But from the horseman's standpoint, what will happen to the purses like at a meet like this?
Well, obviously it'll have some effect, but it'll be up to Gulfstream to decide what they want at that point, if there is decoupling, what they want to put from the casino to the horse purses. But I know that I've heard from Mr. Stronach many times about it, and he believes racing needs to live on its own, that this casino money might have been a temporary fix for the industry, but you can't, you know, it's like a drug. You can't just rely on it long term. So he believes the industry needs to stand on its own 2 feet and be able to be a profitable business that way, and he's 100% right.
Talking with Gulfstream Director of Marketing Mike Nyman here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, Mike, let's focus on opening day today. Claiming Crown, 9 stakes races, $1.1 million in purses. What can folks expect when they come out for opening day and for this opening weekend?
Well, it's going to be opening day here is always exciting, you know, and I always like to compare it to baseball and other sports. You know, everybody likes to come out. Opening day's always been very popular here. When the fans come today, of course, one of the great things here is you get free parking and free admission, so you don't have to worry about, you know, what it's going to cost you to just walk through the door like you do to a sporting event today. When you come in, you're going to get a beautiful wall calendar from us free, which is for 2016. It's got beautiful pictures of horses, champion horses that won here last year during the meet. It's got all our giveaways. It's got all the information you could possibly need for the meet. So that you'll kick it off with that. We also have a giveaway with a program or a racing form, which is actually a snack bag chip clip. And one of the things that you'll notice when you come here is we just unveiled our new logo, which I'm sure you guys have seen everywhere. Which
Pegasus.
Yes, we've incorporated the Pegasus into it. And it's been a great thing. So we're excited about it. Everybody loves the new look. We've just redone our entire website, so you should definitely check it out. We're proud of that. And we've incorporated a whole new campaign, which is surrounded what we call as Gulfstream Park, Welcome to Your Playground.
Oh, great. Beautiful. Well, you know, it's funny. You and I were corresponding via email the other day, and you said, hey, take a look at our new logo and at the new website. And I had already been on the website doing some research for this weekend. And one thing that struck me, even before you sent me the email, was how easy it was to navigate through that website. And so many times when you go to a casino slash racetrack type of website, it's hard to find the racing information. Not here. It's front and center on that Gulfstream website. Very easy to get to. So well done on that front.
Yeah, we're very proud of it. Everybody's happy with it. Of course, like everything, it was a year project. You go through a lot of detail. The website is just full of information. There's all kinds of things for beginners. We've got how-to videos and just everything that goes on this property. So it's a great piece, and we just launched it in the last 2 weeks. And so, of course, we're still working out a few little bugs, but so far the reviews have been very positive.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. It's outstanding. I was like, Mike, I looked at it and I go, wow, that's really cool.
We were on it yesterday. We were using it as we were doing Express Bet Radio here yesterday.
Right.
You and I hosted that show for Anthony Stabile. And, Mike, one thing that I noticed was the press release that was sent out about the new wagers that were created for this year's championship meet, including that, was it the rolling high five?
Right. So there'll be a rolling high five. It'll be a little bit different than we did at Gulfstream Park West. It's going to be $1 minimum bet. And if nobody hits it, the entire 100% rolls over until there's a single ticket, and then they'll take down the pool.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, yeah. Single
that could
ticket.
Be a big pool, right?
Yeah, and it was great at GP West because we tested it over there to see how it would work, because it was kind of not a great bet in the last race. It didn't seem like it was generating the kind of handle we'd like to see, you know, in the get-out race. So we figured we'd try this and see how it works. And we increased the handle, I just think, on that one bet about $700,000-$800,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What else is new for 2015, 2016 with the championship meet?
Well, mostly everything is surrounded around all our big days. We have 6 huge racing days here. Of course, the next big one will be in January, the Sunshine Millions, which, of course, the Eclipse Awards will be here, which we're really looking forward to. All the, you know, big talent, of course, the American Pharoah Triple Crown win last year. I should also say to your fans, you know, he is one of the finalists in the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. So if you go onto the Sports Illustrated website, you should get a chance to get the vote for American Pharoah. It'd be great if the Sportsman of the Year could be a horse that comes from our industry.
Yeah, think about that. You know, and when you think about what that award represents, right? To me, it's the individual, or in this case, the equine, that had the biggest impact on their sport for the year, right?
Right.
And I don't know if there's any other athlete, equine or otherwise, that had the same impact on their respective sport than American Pharoah.
Yeah, and for a marketing point of view, it's really important, because what's great is when you have the Triple Crown going on, of course, we see all the large crowds that show up at each of the Triple Crown races, but the national media does a great job in kind of carrying the water for the industry and getting it out there. So even somebody like my mom, who's not, I'll call her a racing fan, she's very aware of it. She would be calling me up and asking me about American Pharoah and go, Ma, that's really you? So, and you know, that's the kind of comments I get from my friends and people that I know that may not be really, you know, following the sport. But when that Triple Crown hits and there's a horse that's out there, it seems like the whole country is really focused in on it.
Yeah, there's no question. And I think, you know, after the 37-year drought of Triple Crown, I think that the impact, I mean, we all know in racing what the impact was, because we have friends and acquaintances in racing. But, I mean, just the general public, as you say, I mean, to see, you know, people that weren't really hardened racing fans, you know, crying because this horse won the Triple Crown and it was something that they thought they'd never see in their lifetime, I mean, that's a huge impact. And it's not like the Kansas City Royals winning the World Series. I mean, that's great if you're from Kansas City, but...
But not if you're a Met fan.
Exactly.
Yeah, you had to bring that up.
Well, I'm just
you
saying,
to go there.
You know, because they're the runner-up, right? They're the closest competition to American Pharoah, I think, are the Kansas City Royals.
Correct.
So, I mean, to me, that's like apples and oranges. I mean, as far as impact is concerned, American Pharoah had a lot more impact in the United States and around the world than the Kansas City Royals did, unless you're a Met fan.
Absolutely. But the great thing is, when you look at the Derby and the Preakness this year, there's no event in this country that draws that number of people.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
At least I don't think there is.
Can you take much consolation, or would be a consolation prize, if the Florida Gators were to win the the SEC championship later today?
I have to be honest with you. I'll be in shock if they win the game. But I think they'll give a better game than I think that 18-point spread is a little bit deep. Florida has a really good defense. Our offense is really shaky, so we'll see what ends up happening with that. But, you know, I'm a big Gator fan. Everybody knows that. But I think their record is really kind of not indicative of the team they really are.
Is the game's tonight, right?
This afternoon.
Oh, it is this afternoon. Oh, terrible timing for you.
That's okay. I TiVo it. I'll watch it at night. Unless they get blown out, then I'll just erase it.
Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing. Mike, before we let you go, we made the announcement a short time ago before you came on. First time we've broken the news about Saturdays at Gulfstream. We'll kick that coverage off on February 6th, and for nine consecutive weeks we'll be positioned right here to broadcast the major stakes races throughout the entire meet, February 6th to April 2nd, when it culminates with the Florida Derby. And can't thank you enough for all your support in putting that together with us. And it's a great partnership, and we look forward to being here and bringing our listeners that coverage.
And where's a better place to be in the winter? And for everybody out there, when it starts to snow and gets cold, this is where you want to be.
Yeah.
So come on down.
Yeah, come on down. Enjoy at the championship meet. I can say that. Kicks off today, and we'll have that coverage of the Claiming Crown 3 o'clock Eastern for you on HRN. Mike, thanks so much, my friend. Happy to have you here, and happy to be here.
Happy. We're so glad for you guys to be here, and we're glad to be part of the same industry, and I think it all works well.
All right. Enjoy it. Mike Nyman doing a great job down here at Gulfstream Park. JT, that leaves us about 4 or 5 minutes to kind of put a bow on this edition of the Equine Forum and catch our breath for a minute. It's been a very busy show.
Oh, man. Well, Mr. Ramsey, you know, he leaves you breathless anyway. He covers more information in 20 minutes than it's like. And then afterwards,
you know,
the after show is always entertaining, too.
You know what the best part about having Ken Ramsey on the program is that not only is he a phenomenal interview and he's great radio, he's very funny, very candid. But each and every time he comes on the program, he'll come up to me before he goes on air and he'll say, so what are we going to talk about? And I just shake my head because it really doesn't matter what I tell him, right? It's never scripted, right, with Ken Ramsey. And all I have to do is say, Ken, welcome to the program. And a half hour later, we're saying, Ken, thanks for joining us, right? It's outstanding.
No, he's something else. And that story he told about meeting the queen, and then he's 64 generations away or something from the queen. It's unbelievable. That's a huge family tree. So,
if you're just joining us and you missed that interview a short time ago with Ken Ramsey, you can go back to our website after we finish up here at 10 o'clock Eastern. A podcast of this program will be available for you to listen at horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. So in terms of what we're going to see here today with the nine Claiming Crown races, JT, we don't have time to go through all of them, but if you're picking out one or two races, I know people will go to popejude.com to download your entire sheet for the entire day, but if you're picking out one or two bets on this program that you say, all right, these are the ones I'm going to focus on today to build my multi-race tickets, what are those horses?
Well, you know, we talked to Ken Ramsey about his horse Purely Boy, and I Mike Maker has two in the race, Roman Approval and Purely Boy, and I think either one of those could win. And of course, Mike Maker, he wins them all. You know, he's kind of I called him on the Pope Jude sheet a savant. He is really good at claiming crown. In the seventh race, the Claiming Crown Glass Slipper, I like Primo Via a little bit, and I'm going to use that Ace in Provence in the exact. I'm going to use those two. I like that race a little bit. It's going to be interesting. I want to see how the track plays, you know, kind of take it from there. In the fourth, two Cuban Brothers U, interesting name. This horse, he's a hard-hitting horse, and he's coming in from Laurel. I don't know. I didn't know. You know, we talk about this when we're here during the summertime about horses shipping in and the weather here. It's been very muggy, and I think some of the horses that are coming from Kentucky and Maryland, it may be a little tougher on them. You know, it's not as hot as it is during the summertime, like when we come for Summit of Speed, but you know, it's a little bit different kind of weather here, so I think you should be leery of that. Maybe the local horses have a little bit of an edge. I certainly would be looking at horses that prefer an off track. They're calling the track good. It's sealed. I posted a couple pictures on Twitter this morning of the sealed track, and It's going to probably be, you know, in pretty decent shape, but I think there's still going to be some water in it. So,
yeah, we had a little fun yesterday at the end of ExpressBet Radio, asking people to tweet to us at HRN and let us know the most bizarre horse name that they've ever heard. And we were talking about how a lot of times owners will name horses in a certain manner, and it can be tricky for announcers to kind of come out with it. You know, one example that I cited was Flat Fleet Feet, who was a horse that I remember growing up there in New York. But we got a lot of response. We want to thank everybody for participating in that. Some really unique answers, to say the least.
Yeah, it was fun. It gave us a little something to talk about the last 10 or 15 minutes of the show when the racing had gone off the air. So it was very opportune, but it was great to see everybody have their favorites. Some of them we can't even repeat on the radio.
No, but we appreciate the tweets.
But they were cool.
All right, we do want to thank all of our guests for making an appearance here on the program. Bob Fortas kicked it off with us at 8:15 Eastern Time. Eric Hamelback and Leroy Gessman from the National HPPA were with us in the first half of the program as well. Of course, owner Ken Ramsey was here at 9 o'clock Eastern, and Mike Nyman just a short time ago. Been a lot of fun here this morning, and don't forget we're back this afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern Time, with our exclusive coverage of the 17th Claiming Crown. It's all presented by Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. You can listen exclusively at horseracingradio.net, but you don't have to be on your computer. You can do it on your smartphone and your tablet as well. A lot of fun, my friend.
Yeah, just hit the Listen Now button.
All right, well, for our producer, Sean C., back in our Lexington studio, for Michelle Penna here on site, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. For now, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.